broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. During our break, we just had a little bit of Gabrielle Gifford on the Phil TV video feed. And she was introduced today. And like I said during the break, as I said to Dr. Sadler, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. That was a beautiful thing to see the lady show up and to see courage like that from one of our elected representatives. We're going to be talking this hour, though, about the debt ceiling bill and the fact that Representative Gabrielle Giffords voted. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you're watching our Phil TV feed, there is Gabrielle Giffords there again, waving and receiving some of the applause. I think that's Brad Sherman rants standing next to her, that pain in the ass. I mean, that very nice guy that we know from the Valley. So anyway, what, Bud?
Yeah, he's the man from the Valley.
Yeah, I know, the representative from the Valley. So the debt ceiling bill passes the House, and, well, and even Gabrielle Giffords showed up to vote. We'll talk with special guests Professor Emery Clayton, Dr. Ron Turner, and Larry Grover coming up here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, our Phil TV is on philhendryshow.com. That's our website. That is the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. You can go over and pick up a backstage pass and take a look at all that we have to offer, including thousands and thousands, and I mean literally thousands of hours of radio that you will not hear anywhere else. World-class radio, funny as hell. You'll die, you'll split your sides, you'll strangle. In fact, our radio show at times is so funny, it cures things. It literally can. I believe it can cure cancer.
You can't say that.
Well, I just did say it. How about that? I just did say it.
No, but I mean, the people are going to call up.
What are they going to call it? Well, they know I'm joking, sort of. But hey, what if it does cure cancer? Am I supposed to go back and then say, oh, it really does cure cancer, and they wouldn't let me say it?
Well, no, but you better not.
All right, it doesn't cure cancer. 877-876-PHIL. Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College. Professor Clayton, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm very well, and I'll tell you this much. If your program can cure cancer, then even at some point, if it does not cure cancer, I think it was worth saying it and getting the word out there. Maybe you cure one or two people, but nonetheless, I think speaking well on behalf of ourselves is very, very important, and I say that having seen what happened in Congress today.
Let's talk about this, Professor Clayton, and Professor Clayton is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. The House of Representatives decisively passed a bill tonight to raise the nation's debt ceiling, capping months of negotiations between House Republicans and President Obama. And Representative Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona made her first appearance on Capitol Hill since being shot in her district in January. She voted in support of the deal that would raise the debt ceiling. A tweet from her office account as the vote was starting said, Gabrielle has returned to Washington to support a bipartisan bill to prevent economic crisis. Congressional leaders breathed a collective sigh of relief today after convincing members of Congress to support the deal, which was made public only on Sunday night, to raise the nation's $14.3 trillion debt limit and avert U.S. default. Your feelings?
Well, I think my feelings are very clear. I think I agree with a great many Americans this evening when I say that I'm grateful for the vote. I'm also a little bit disappointed. And I will say that I have been disappointed from the very beginning. When I look at that faction of the Republican Party that we have called the Tea Party, that they have self-described as the Tea Party, I'm disappointed, Phil, from this standpoint. I'm disappointed because here is a young woman suffering from the possible brain damage, a young woman who took a bullet through her head. And I don't want to overly dramatize the events of January. I think we're all very familiar with it. But here's a young lady that took that bullet, and a young woman that could very well be suffering from some kind of brain damage. Perhaps it has slowed her thinking. Perhaps it has affected her intellect on some level. I don't know. Perhaps we may not know for a long time. Perhaps it has caused her to have a difficult time quantifying, or logically analyzing things. And yet, this young woman voted on behalf of the debt ceiling raising. How do you feel if someone with brain damage can vote for this bill, and you're a Tea Party member and you can't, how does that make you feel?
Well,
no, hold on for just a minute. I want to let that sink in. I want to let that sink in. If you could.
You want to let what sink in?
I want to let it sink. When I ask the question, Phil, and I'm asking the Tea Party people that are listening tonight, a young woman suffering from a level of brain damage can vote for this bill, and the Tea Party can't. You're a Tea Party member. How does that make you feel? Pause. Don't say anything. Well, I didn't want to say pause. Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
What are you saying?
I'm saying if you would not say anything.
You want some dramatic pause?
I want a dramatic pause, yes. Let me do it again. Listen to what I'm saying. A young woman with brain damage, a young woman who took a bullet through the head, that young woman who may suffer from any number of...
All right, we understand. Intellectual...
Excuse me? Mr. Henry, I have the floor. And
you are on my radio show, Professor. I understand what you're trying to say. A young woman who...
I want to, if you'll allow me, to present this the way I wanted to present it, if you'll allow me.
Go ahead, sir.
A young lady suffering... All right, I'll speed it up because you can't give me the common decency. A young lady... And
I apologize, but I do want to move the show along.
I understand that. A young lady who has lost... Where are my notes? God. A young woman You know, I got to tell you something. As an African-American male, I like to think that progress is made. But when things like this happen, I think the white man... And excuse me, I just think the white man's doing it on purpose.
I'm not doing anything on purpose.
Well, then how come I have to look?
I didn't know what you were saying. If you'd said to me before we came on the air, I want to do something, Phil. I want to set something up. You know.
Okay. If I'd said what do you want to hear, I'm going to rehearse this. This was a natural moment for me. It was a natural moment. A young lady. I'll
just do it. I mean, I'm not trying to stop you.
Well, then why did you jump in and go, blah, blah, you know, you're all impatient. I'm trying to say something here.
I understand, Professor, that you're trying to say something. I apologize. Please, commence. I will not interrupt you.
Where are the notes? Thank you very much. Thank you. A young woman may have had her intellect affected, her ability to think logically, her ability to think linear. Her ability to think in a peripheral manner, her ability to imagine as well as analyze and analyze in a discriminating fashion. All of this could be affected by that bullet that young woman took in January. And yet, even with brain damage, even brain damaged, Gabrielle Gifford went in and voted for that debt ceiling bill. And the Tea Party couldn't. If you're in the Tea Party, how does that make you feel?
Okay.
Well, God!
I'm sorry.
See, this is what I mean. You are a white man, and...
I'm sorry.
Well, if you're... Then I told you what I wanted to do, and you jumped in anyway.
I forgot, man. It took so long for us to get to it.
I forgot, man. Let me tell you something. You're not at some rib joint, all right? This is not some soul food. This ain't Deacon Burton's Grill. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Don't give me this man. I don't speak that hep jive. I'm a professor at an institute of higher learning, and I will be spoken to with respect.
I apologize, Professor. I lapsed.
Yes, well, see it there now. You lapse, and what you do when you lapse... What do you think happens when you lapse? It means somebody lapped you. And when someone laps you, no, it has nothing to do with a dog with his tongue making you... I don't want to get into that. When someone laps you, I'm talking about in terms of auto racing.
They've lapped you, that means they're way ahead of you.
They're way ahead of you, exactly.
Well, I wasn't thinking about a dog.
Good. a young lady who got shot in the. I cannot emphasize, Phil, what happened to Gabrielle Givens. She got shot. And it could have affected her ability to think intelligently, and yet she walked into that chamber today and she voted for the debt ceiling bill. The Tea Party couldn't. How does that make you feel? Well, I guess you've got to say something.
I don't know when.
How about now?
Very good, Professor. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the fact that Gabrielle Gifford, even with possible brain damage, was able to support this bill. So how does that make the Tea Party feel that you guys got, I guess, beat out in terms of smarts by a woman with brain damage? Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I don't know who that man is. Who is that?
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, of course. And we're with Professor Emory Clayton, who is with the Urban Studies Department at LA Canyon College. We're going to bring on now Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverton, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, how are you tonight?
Doing very well, Phil, and enjoying the conversation this evening, as always.
And we were talking here about...
I'd like to jump in with a comment, if I could.
Okay, Professor, go ahead.
He's causing problems.
No, I'm not causing any problems. No, sir. I'm not causing any problems. No, sir. No. I wanted to ask Mr. Hendry... Well, never mind.
Go ahead, Professor.
I apologize. I shouldn't have said what I said. I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, forget it. Forget it. Never mind.
Well, sir, you're welcome to say what you want to say. I wanted to give Dr. Tarner a couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. Just go ahead.
No, I insist, Bill. I'd like him to say what he wants to say.
Professor?
First of all, I'm a professor. I'm not a doctor. Secondly, never mind.
Come on, will you?
Now, that starts to piss me off.
Oh, but I don't want to piss you off. All right, I'll say it. You got any other white people you want to bring on your show tonight, or is Dr. Tarner the last one? And
oh, come on.
Well, hold your horses there, boy.
Boy? You call me boy?
No, hold on.
Yeah, you're going to have to apologize for that.
I heard that man call me boy, okay?
It's a word I use. It's a word I use.
Yeah, just like that man used our baby, too. That's a word he uses.
No, hold on. I apologize. I say that to my son.
And oh, yeah, I'll bet you do say that to your son. I heard this man call me boy. Now, I can tell you, sir, I may be a genteel, and I can assure you, a very genteel man. I'm a man of intellect, and I'm a man who engages in discussion, even when all else is lost. But I can assure you, had you said that to me in person, in your person, that you would not be standing right now, sir.
I would be, what, on all fours?
Did you just hear what...
Would you stop it with the jokes?
I don't know what he was talking about.
Did you hear what that cracker just said?
Cracker? Well, that right there, see, that shut... See, Phil...
All right, I got to put these guys on hold. I got boy, cracker. All I wanted to do was come on here and talk about the debt ceiling. The bill, the debt ceiling bill, the fact that Gabrielle Giffords voted, and these two guys, first of all, I'm going to say, I want them on one at a time, bud. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bring on Dr. Tarner first. Dr. Tarner, you there?
This is Professor Clayton.
Hold on for a minute. Dr. Tarner, do you know what line he's on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do.
Well, what line's he on?
Line. Do you mean? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
You don't do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. What line's he on? If he's not on that... Excuse me. My voice is cracking, okay?
Yeah, a little bit.
What line's he on?
Eeny, meeny, miny.
You know, here, this one. Dr. Tarner, is that you?
No, this is Larry Grover.
What line's he on?
Well, you just did two of them.
I did two lines, okay?
Which ones?
I did one and three.
Which ones are lit up?
One, two, and three.
That must mean he's on line two.
Exactly. Dr. Tarner.
Emery Clayton.
What line is he on?
You just used one, two, and three.
Well, are those the three guys there?
Phil, you sound really bad. You just went, are those the three guys there? You sound really gay.
Yeah, you sounded very feminine-like. Better drink some.
Get that out of my face. I don't want to drink that. There's three lines lit up there, and one of them is Dr. Ron Tarner. This one. Dr. Tarner.
Jerry Grover.
This one. Dr. Tarner.
Emery Clayton.
This one, Larry Grover.
Nope. Yeah, this is Larry Grover.
I mean Ron Tarner.
Nope, Larry Grover.
What happened to Tarner?
He's on line three.
Dr. Tarner, is that you?
No, it's still Emery Clayton. You know, you got to get you ought to pull your head out of your...
He must have hung up.
Uh-uh. Hold on. Dr. Tarner? Yeah, he's right here. Here, let me...
I can't talk to him on the phone. Put him on the air.
Dr. Tarner, I'm pushing on the air. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's Emery Clayton. What are you...
Okay, I give up. I give up, man.
What?
I give up. If you were just talking to him, I give up.
I had him on the line.
You had him on the line, huh? You were talking to... Let me have Emery and let me have Larry Grover.
This is Ron Tarner, Phil. I stepped away for the...
This is Ron Tarner.
Yes.
All right. Ron, will you do me...
What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with you. Will you do me the favor of apologizing to Professor Clayton so that we can move on with this discussion?
I will attempt to do that.
Now get me Professor Clayton on the line, if you don't mind. Professor Clayton?
Yes, Emery Clayton.
Sir, would you do me the good service of accepting Professor Dr. Turner's apology so that we can move on?
For you, Phil, I'll do it. If this was any other radio program, I can assure you I would have hung up by now, and you'd be getting a letter from my attorney forthwith.
Gentlemen, Professor Clayton is here.
Yes, Dr. Turner.
Yes, let me say, Professor Clayton, that it was... very inelegant and very boorish of me. I apologize wholeheartedly for using that term. I can assure you that I did not mean it in the sense, but I can understand how it was taken that way.
And I got the essence of it, thank you. I mean, it sounds like every other white man. And I would like to also apologize to you for calling you a cracker, even though you are.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, everybody feel better?
I'm fine.
Okay, we were talking about the Gabrielle Giffords vote today. It was the opinion of Professor Clayton that Gabrielle Giffords, even with brain damage, exhibited an intellectual ability that escapes the people in the Tea Party. Your feelings on that, Dr. Tarner?
Well, Phil, I have a little bit of a different feeling on this. I don't know whether or not Professor Clayton will agree, but I've been down this road before with Stephen Hawking. And, you know...
What does that mean, Stephen Hawking?
Well, I could tell you, Professor Clayton, I've known Stephen Hawking for a great many years. He's a grandstander. He is a glory hog. He loves to suck all the attention toward himself. He puts himself in those little motorized hover-around chairs, and he surrounds himself with hot-looking women, and he writes these ridiculous books because he cannot stand the spotlight not being on him. And I think that what we had today was a little bit of a Stephen Hawking moment. Oh, look at me. Aren't I special, even though I look like a pretzel? And I don't mean to...
I gotta admit, that's pretty funny.
You know something? I don't think that's called for at all.
Well, all right.
And not only that, it's not original either.
That's true. I did hear that, I think, on the... I think I heard that on the Bubba the Sponge show.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Pardon?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
It's called Bubba the Love Sponge. Yeah, I heard the human pretzel. So that's not even an original line. Because I heard...
Okay, fine. You heard the human pretzel on Bubba the Love Sponge. What are you talking about anyway? You're listening to Bubba the Love Sponge?
I love Bubba the Love Sponge. I love him. Don't you ever say anything about Bubba the Love Sponge. I love that man like I love an old brother.
That's very unusual. I'll tell you one thing. Bubba the Love Sponge is a lot funnier than Hawking. Although Hawking is funnier And Lex and Luthor, or whatever the hell their name is. Lex and Luthor.
Well, all right. I'm going to go nuts here in about 5 seconds. These guys are doing a review now of every morning show in America. We'll be back here with Dr. Ron Tarner, Professor Emery Clayton, and coming up next, Larry Grover from Citizens of the Conservatives of Kern.
What a mess.
Kern County, the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We have with us here Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College. We also have with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado, Ron Tarner, Dr. Ron Tarner. And Larry Grover is going to join us here in a moment from Conservatives of Kern County as we continue to discuss. And I say that in the most broad of terms, discuss Gabrielle Giffords and, of course, the debt ceiling bill today. I don't think, gentlemen, and I say this with respect, I don't think we've come even close to discussing this situation today properly.
But I wanted to say one thing here. I came on your program with the very best of intentions. When I heard this man, Dr. Tarner, who I appreciate very much, now he is saying to me, and he's trying to say to you, and he's trying to say to your audience, that Gabrielle Giffords came on the stage, if you will, of the Congress today in much the same manner that this man, Dr. Stephen Hawking, comes on stage as a self-aggrandizing handicapped person. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Tarner?
Well, never mind the fact that you had to remember what my title was. You went, Dr. Tarner, Joseph.
I didn't know what your title was. Sir, don't be so insecure, all right? I forgot momentarily. It's not that I don't know you're a doctor.
Well, it's like you were going to call me Professor Tarner.
No, I did not call you Professor Tarner, sir. Now, my question stands, sir. This lady, Gabrielle Giffords, today, you say she was grandstanding. That's exactly what you're saying. You say she was on a stage today. She was clowning out there and grandstanding and self-aggrandizing, I believe. Mr. Hendry used that term, and I think that's appropriate. Is that what you're saying?
You know, Phil, I can't stand talking to this coon, Canadian. I don't like...
Hold on a minute. What, did you just call me a coon?
No, I did not. I said Canadian.
Hold on, wait.
No, you hold on. Both of you, I heard that man call me a coon.
No, sir, I said I can't stand talking to these Canadians.
And no, I didn't hear that at all. I didn't hear that at all, sir.
I didn't either. I heard coon.
No, I said Canadian, Canadians.
Why would you say Canadian?
Because I come from the Northern Plain States.
What does that mean? You come from the Northern Plain States. What does that mean?
Have you ever heard Lawrence Welk?
Have I ever heard who?
Lawrence Welk.
I don't know. I don't know who that... What? You made that cracker with a tuba?
What?
The cracker with a tuba.
Look, hold on. Let's calm down here for a moment. Lawrence Welk was the band leader.
I know who Lawrence Welk was. Lawrence Welk was that cracker with a tuba player, and he had a guy wearing a pork pie hat.
What are you talking about? Lawrence Welk was a beloved...
I don't know who he was beloved. What about him?
Lawrence Welk came from North Dakota, and he talked like he had a speech impediment.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, I come from North Dakota, too. And while I have developed a much better speaking pattern because of the educational arenas that I've been in, and...
Whoa, hold the phone here. Lawrence Welk, hold on just for a minute, Phil, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Would you people shut up? Just shut. Take that buffet outside. Lawrence Welk, I know Lawrence Welk, all right, talked to me like he come from a foreign country. You're saying he didn't?
No, Lawrence Welk came from North Dakota. There are a lot of Germans. He said,
I know how he talked. He talked like some man from Germany or something.
No, Lawrence Welk was from here.
Yeah, so I say Canadian.
You say Canadian?
Yes, sir, I do. And I didn't mean to say that.
And this Boy Scouts understand that. Whoa, you just called me boy. Now, you heard him call me boy. And
no, yes, I did. Now.
No, I said Boy Scouts understand that. I said Boy Scouts understand that.
Hold on for a minute.
I heard boy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where you work, but you can't be that far away from me. And even if I've got to crawl on my hands and knees.
Hold on for just a minute. Larry Grover. Larry, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here.
What did you hear?
Well, first, what do you mean, what did I hear? First of all, what I'd like to say is that I known I was being on a radio program with two idiots. Who are you calling an idiot? Hold on, I've got the floor now. Two idiots. Now, I'm listening to this guy, Boy Scout, Coonadian, the other guy going nuts. I thought I was on here to talk about how Gabrielle Giffords got on the floor of the United States Congress today. And she wasn't on no floor. I didn't mean literally.
You mean in the...
Yes, in the... Oh, God. Oh, God. I got on a bed for this?
Hey, this is Larry Grover?
Yes.
I'm Dr. Rod Tarter. Did you hear me say this Boy Scout's attitude...
I heard you say this boy, and then I heard you think, oh boy, I just made a mistake, I better add scouts.
That's what it sounded like to me.
And that's what it sounded like to me.
Well, now I've heard it all. So you're calling me an inveterate racist,
and that's about right. I've heard you call me coon. I've heard you call me boy. I've heard you say that you said boy, and another thing, didn't he say stove lid?
No, he did not. You know, first of all, Dr. Tarner, if you got a problem... talking to a man of color, then maybe we can...
No, I do not. And you guys are really bigoted. You're bigoted against North Dakotans. North Dakotians. And
what do you mean, North Dakotians?
That's what I am. I'm from North Dakota.
And that's why you say Coonadian and all that other jazz.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man, if you're lying to me,
I swear it.
Well, anyway, Phil, can I say something?
Go ahead, Larry.
It was Gabrielle Giffords today who was coaxed onto the floor of the House of Representatives in a most unseemly manner, Phil, because I've got it on good authority from one of Obama's staff members that he had to coax her into the House of Representatives with one of those pinwheels he got at Disneyland.
Oh, no.
Are you, what are you saying to me?
That's an out-and-out lie.
Oh, no.
I swear, Phil, I wish I wasn't having to say this, but I'm...
And what are you saying?
I'm saying the only way they got her into the House of Representatives was to spin the little pinwheel and go, look, see, Gabby? Look, you can have it. And
get out of here. I can't listen to this.
Those are three very preeminent men. They're going to be mad.
Oh, well, am I going to be upset about that? Am I going to worry about that? No, I'm not going to worry about that. I got the one guy with boy. The other thing, and this whole thing about spinning a pinwheel... All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break right now. We'll be back, and we will have Dr. Ron Tarner, Larry Grover, whoever stays with us. I don't blame any of them for hanging up, especially Tarner. I'm from North Dakota. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That was very scary.
Hold on for a minute. What?
I said that was very scary. I did not appreciate what you had done on your broadcast. I was looking at your video cast.
Yeah, and what was scary?
You just had on Maxine Waters. I just saw her. Did you do that on purpose, or what did you do?
I've got C-SPAN. I flashed C-SPAN for a moment.
Well, what you flashed was Maxine Waters. And she's frightening. Frightening to look at, frightening to listen to. Now, I'm a progressive. Don't get me wrong. I'm very progressive. And I support a strong black woman in politics, especially Maxine Waters. I support a strong, tough, good African-American woman in the House of Representatives. And I would support Maxine Waters for the United States Senate. And I think that's where she's headed.
You do?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
She could be. I mean, she could be. I think that California is going to put a Republican back in as a senator, but I think they'll keep a Democrat.
You think so, huh? Let me tell you something. I would support Maxine Waters. But all of that aside, when I look at her, I feel that if I'm in a marble hall or I'm in a room full of mirrors, that my life is at stake, that I may get a shard right through my groin, right into the femoral artery. You know,
why don't you speak English?
What?
Speak? What are you talking about?
If Maxine Waters showed up in the House of Mirrors, I'd get a shard through the groin. Now figure that one out.
She'd break the mirrors.
Yes.
Well, aren't you a class act?
Well, I was trying to put it in a poetic way so I wouldn't have to explain it. But with you, Henry, that's not possible now, is it? I've got to insult a beautiful, wonderful African-American woman. And
oh, you had to insult her. I forced you to, huh?
Well, you forced me to explain the joke.
The joke?
Yes.
She walks into the House of Mirrors. Where the hell is that?
I didn't say House of Mirrors, did I? I'm not talking about some fun zone. I ain't talking about where you hung out as a kid at the end of a pier in some funky fun zone with some needle freak putting kids into a roller coaster or on a Ferris wheel. Some tattooed up needle freak Hollywood hype. No, no, I'm not into that. No way. Now check this out. Boy, if this ain't a 1-2 punch. Here I am talking up proud black women and I get Maxine Waters followed by Sheila Jackson Lee. Man, if that don't put the hurt on my vision.
Boy, I'll tell you something. You didn't want me to go with all the man stuff and...
I'll just talk the way I want to talk, all right? I'm a proud black man. I'll express myself in the colloquial way that I express myself sometimes when I don't want to lose my temper. I'm sitting here trying to support proud, strong black women, and I get Maxine Waters and Sheila Jackson Lee, a 1-2 punch of ugly... That like,
boy, you are, you know...
Man, that is a 1-2 punch of scary.
And I'd get a glass shard through the groin. Is that what I was hearing?
No, not you. Me.
All right, are we all done with insulting these women? Because
I did not insult these women.
Yes, you did. Are we all done? Because I want to get back to this discussion that we started here on Gabrielle Giffords, if you don't mind.
That's fine with me.
All right. First of all, Gabrielle Giffords, you say, walked into the, the House of Representatives, and she cast a vote, even with the possibility of brain damage, even with the possibility of a decreased intellect, I think is the way you put it, even with the possibility of a damage to her ability to think logically in a linear fashion, blah, blah, blah.
No, not blah, blah, blah. The point that I was making was very well stated and very well rooted. So it's not blah, blah, blah. Maybe it sounds like blah, blah, blah to you. Let me tell you something, Phil.
All right, but I understand.
No, hold on. Let me tell you something. What do you think when we say to a dog, if you say to a dog, here, Rover, here is your food, what do you think the dog hears?
I guess he hears here, Rover.
No, the dog hears blah, 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 blah. That's for the dog. I'm sorry. All right. What did you want to know?
Here's what I want to know. I want to know if Gabrielle Giffords had this decrease in intellect, as you say, or the possibility of that, and still casted a vote for the debt ceiling legislation. How do you know it was the correct vote? How do you know that the more intelligent vote, if you'll pardon me for saying this, was against that bill? You say it is reflective of a smart move, this young lady suffering from this terrible injury. How do you know it was the right move?
Now what you've done, Phil, is you've basically said Gabrielle Giffords is a retard. And
no, I have not said that at all.
Then why are you saying she cast the wrong vote?
I didn't say that. I said, how do you know?
I am assuming, because I'm a gentleman, that the fine young congresswoman from Tucson, Arizona cast the correct vote. I'm a gentleman, and I'm also a very discriminating thinker, and I'm also, I believe, on the right side of history when I say that Gabrielle Giffords cast the correct vote and she did it despite her injuries. Now, dig your way out of that one. She cast the right vote. How does the Tea Party feel? How do you feel? How do you feel, Phil Henry?
I'm not Tea Party.
Uh-huh.
I'm not Tea Party, and I'll tell you this. my question still stands.
Your question is wrong.
No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. My question still stands. How is it that you're sure she cast the right vote? It's certainly a commendable thing that that woman showed up and cast the vote. It's a commendable thing that Gabrielle Giffords, showing courage and commitment to her country, showed up to cast that vote. It does not necessarily mean she cast the right vote. So how do you put those two together?
Let me tell you something. And now, what's this on? I'm looking at Phil TV, and I just looked at a bald white man with a red beard. Oh, Lord.
And I'm sorry. I thought that, let's take that out. That was on C-SPAN. I thought they were still showing some of the vote.
We already know what happened to the vote today, Phil. I don't think any of us need to fool around with that. I think we all know what happened. It passed. Now, Gabrielle Giffords passed the correct vote. I'm not willing to sit here on your program and say that that young woman was wrong. I'm not willing to sit here on your program and say that a woman, not a man, but a woman, stood up for democracy in America and took a bullet for it. She stood there like any of our young brave men and women in Afghanistan, Iraq. She stood there like any of our brave young men on the shores of Normandy Beach. She stood there like our brave young men at Khe Sanh or Da Nang Beach. She stood there like our brave young men in Belleau Woods in World War I. And she stood there like the 54th in South Carolina during the Civil War. Gabrielle Giffords, shoulder to shoulder with all of them people. You can hear my voice cracking. And I didn't say cracker, I said cracking.
I understand.
All right. Gabrielle Giffords stood shoulder to shoulder with every great American fighting man, every hero, every American that ever took a bullet and, yes, even died for their country. Gabrielle Giffords was right there. She's more of a man than 99% of these so-called men I'm looking at today. And you're telling me she cast the wrong vote? That woman should be awarded a Purple Heart. In fact, I think she should be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever the highest award is that they give a civilian. What's that called, Phil? The one they give to the civilian.
Presidential Citation of Freedom.
Bull crap. What's the name of
it? That's the name of it.
If you're lying to me.
What is it with you, man? It's the Presidential Citation of Freedom.
Well, then Gabrielle Giffords should get that. Gabrielle Giffords should get that. Presidential Citation of Freedom. A Silver Star and a Purple Heart. Because let me tell you something. That woman took a bullet from an enemy of the United States. Just as bad as any Nazi, just as bad as any commie, just as bad as any Japanese kung fu BS, that Tojo, whatever the hell he was, just as bad as that Ho Chi Minh, you know that guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just as bad as that, all them Confederate, all that Johnny Rep bullcrap, all that, just as bad as that Kaiser and that stupid ass, whatever they call him, the Archduke or the, what do they call that guy?
Are you talking about World War One? I don't know.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm looking at a bunch of white guys in funny hats. What's the guy that...
Archduke, yes, of Austria.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Because when you get down to it, Phil, that's all America has ever done in war is fought a bunch of white men in funny hats. Okay? And by God, if we've got to fight a whole bunch more funny-looking white men in funny hats, I'm there, front and center. I'll follow Gabrielle Giffords right through the gates of hell.
Well, now, wasn't that dramatic? Can we shut off this stuff, bud? Thank you.
Well, that was the House of Representatives and everything.
I don't give a crap. I've been listening to that through one ear. I got the noise that Emery Clayton is whatever he was.
I think it's like a tea.
A tea? A tea for what?
A tea for two.
Man, that's great. I love it.
Oh, that's really good.
That was perfect, T for two.
Yeah. Man, I give a five on that.
Yeah, that's great, bud.
Yeah. T for what?
T for two.
Shut up. What a woman.
Sorry.
God, you're going to start screaming in here like you're in the middle of some kind of a coon hunt. Yes, I said coon.
I know you meant raccoon.
Okay. Don't start yipping it up in here, man, like you're, you know, the hounds are onto one, okay, and you're just slogging through the swamp.
That's funny, though. You got a bit.
It wasn't that funny. It wasn't that funny at all. All right, well, there you go, our three gentlemen this evening, and I think what you heard were three very, the most disrespectful point of view by Larry Grover, the guy that I thought I was going to get more sense out of. The fact that Gabrielle Giffords was somehow lured into the House of Representatives today by a staff member from Obama spinning a pinwheel on a stick. And then, of course, we had the point of view by Dr. Ron Turner that it was all a Stephen Hawking-style stunt. And then, of course, we had Professor Emery Clayton, who I think, in all of his angst and anger and all of his irritation and anxiety, probably made the best point of all, which was that, you know, with the injury that poor girl suffered, there she was, perhaps casting the correct vote. I don't think you can say that she did, but I think you can say this. You can say that she's every bit the hero that we make, well, any of our fighting men and women out to be.
Very dramatic.
What?
That was very dramatic. That was good.
Thank you, Robert. We'll be right back here with our news and information hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Keep it two.
Phil Hendry.